Today we are going to begin the study of the book of Joshua. This will be a rather long study covering quite a number of broadcasts because we will be studying the book of Joshua verse by verse, chapter by chapter. In our study of the book of Joshua, we are going to try to become familiar with the book as we always do with any particular book which we begin to study. Now, I suggest that we become familiar with this book from a threefold standpoint. Now we will consider the author, and then, as time permits, the analysis of the book, and then the analogies, which we will see in this book. You might like to jot down those three words somewhere, at least to fix them firmly in your minds, because that will be the outline that we'll be following in our discussion while we are learning something about the book of Joshua. Let me give you the three words again. The author, analysis, analogies. Now, as we attempt to learn something about the author, we, of course, realize at the very outset that the word author needs no explanation. It is simply the man who wrote the book. The word analysis might need some explanation for some of us. An analysis simply means telling what's in the book, what are the contents of it, what we expect to find. The word analogy is one that we don't use very often, so it might need a word of explanation. An analogy is a likeness. An analogy is a similarity in some respects between things otherwise unlike. So, we're going to notice in this book the relation of its truths to other truths within the Word of God. And as we keep in mind that we are going to find some wonderfully precious truths, we will benefit by this discussion. Now, as we think with you about the author of the book, if I should ask you who it is, in all probability you would tell me immediately that it is Joshua. And the reason for that is that in your King James Bible, which we use in our study, you find the phrase, the book of Joshua. So you automatically assume that the author is Joshua. But you would discover, if you did very much reading or very much talking, that people are not all convinced that Joshua is the author of the book. You may say, well, I know that's true of liberalists. There are a lot of things that liberalists don't believe. Now, in fairness to everybody concerned, we would like to remind you that the conservative teachers themselves are not all convinced that Joshua is the author of the book. One conservative Bible scholar says Joshua could not be the author. Another one says he is. And another one says maybe he is. So you see, there is a divided opinion even among conservative people. The natural thing, of course, is, as I mentioned, to consider that Joshua is the author, because it is all about him. And other folks say, well, that's not reason enough. There's no real indication he wrote it. It really doesn't matter, of course, who the human author is, because we believe in the inspiration of God's Word, and we believe the Holy Spirit is the author. And so the man concerned isn't really important. Now, having said all that, if I stop right there, I know what somebody's going to ask, or at least wonder, and that is, who do you think the author is? Because that's what usually happens when I talk in generalities, as I have the last few moments. Well, I'm going to tell you that I believe that Joshua is the author of the book, and I have no doubts about it. Now, one of the reasons why I believe Joshua is the author of the book, the claim that I would make for it, is related to tradition. What do I mean by tradition? I mean the opinion of Bible scholars, both Jewish and Christian, all down through the ages. All of the Jewish Bible scholars are convinced that Joshua is the author of the book, and the majority of Christian conservative Bible scholars are convinced that Joshua is the book. So, my first answer is that tradition, beyond all question, is on the side of Joshua as the author. But, as you know from our teaching of the Word of God, tradition is not enough. And so we give you another reason. For the sake of alliteration, and as an aid to your memory, I'm going to use the word times. Tradition indicates that Joshua is the author, and the times which are referred to in the book indicate that Joshua is the author. The phrase, unto this day, is presented in the book over and over again, and I'm using the word times to describe that. As I say, for the sake of alliteration and as an aid to your memory. Now, what do we mean by the phrase, unto this day? Well, let's look at one or two of them, and we'll be able to understand what I'm talking about. Will you turn in the book of Joshua, please, to chapter 8, verse 28. We're reading here in chapter 8 about the destruction of Ai. We won't take the time to read the whole story, but down in verse 28 we read, Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. You'll find that phrase, unto this day, scattered about several places. Again, in chapter 10, verse 27, you read, And it came to pass, at the time of the going down of the sun, that Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees and cast them into the cave in which they had hidden, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. Now, if you are not careful when you are reading the Bible, and you read a phrase like that, you put yourself there, and you expect to find a heap of rocks over a bunch of dead bodies that were placed there in Joshua's day, and according to the Scripture, are still there unto this day. Of course, that is not what the phrase means. It means that when the individual who wrote this book wrote it, those stones were still in existence. Those heaps of stones covering dead bodies were still visible in the day in which the person lived who wrote this particular book. And, of course, that would indicate that some person contemporary with Joshua wrote the book. Well, someone will say, what about somebody else writing it? Somebody who lived at the same time Joshua did. Maybe Joshua's brother. Well, I think the answer will be found involved in another word which we use, the word testimony. Tradition, times, testimony. Now, here are three reasons I'm giving to you for the claim that the author of the book of Joshua is Joshua himself. Tradition says so. The element of time indicates it. And the testimony found in this book would give further evidence to the claim. This testimony to which I refer is what many Bible scholars refer to as the we passages in the book of Joshua, the first person plural pronoun we. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel. And down in verse 6 is another similar suggestion. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people who were men of war, who came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey, that he would give us. These are the we passages, testimonies which Joshua himself gave, indicating that he was there on the scene, directing affairs, and in all probability recorded what was written. Now again, somebody may say, well, I'd like just a little bit more proof than that. So I'm going to ask you to turn to chapter 24 of the book of Joshua and notice a definite statement that Joshua wrote some things down. Now, I would not strain the meaning of the passage and suggest to you that this would prove by itself that he wrote the entire book of Joshua, but it would certainly add evidence that he did. Joshua chapter 24, verse 26, Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Here is a very definite statement that Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. There is no way to prove conclusively whether the words he wrote referred to what is immediately prior to that statement in Joshua 23 and 24, or whether it referred to the whole book. But these are the reasons why I am convinced in my own mind that Joshua was the writer of the book. Some of you may wonder why we have taken the time to go into this. Well, you know, if we're all going to live on a little island all by ourselves, there wouldn't be any need to discuss a thing like that. You would simply say, I believe that Joshua wrote the book, and that would settle it. But you know, we don't live by ourselves. There are people who will question the authenticity of the Word of God. And we need to know that the authenticity of the Word of God still remains after people have questioned it. In considering the authorship of the book, we thought with you about the claim that Joshua wrote it. And I believe he did. In our next broadcast, we're going to think with you about the author in another way, the kind of man that he was, because that enters in to an understanding of the book itself.